Blog Talk Radio.
And you are here today because anyone who ever bet against you was wrong. Because any obstacle that ever dared get in your way, no matter how invincible it may have seemed, it was defeated by your innate power to overcome. You are here today because you are powerful beyond measure. Stop denying yourself of this truth. Your greatest self has been waiting your entire life. Don't you dare make it wait any longer.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Maraboli. Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Maraboli.
Hey, 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 welcome, welcome. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Of course, you are welcome to participate with this show no matter where you're listening, no matter how you're listening. You could participate through AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. Just tell us who you are, where you're from. And don't forget that if you're not listening live, a great way to participate, first of all, you could always participate through that feedback. We always get it, whether it's the show is a year old or it's a couple of hours old, we always get it. Another great way to participate is to share these shows. The show's listened to in over 100 countries. We don't advertise it, so it's 100% due to you sharing. So keep sharing, and we keep doing shows. Don't forget our website is empoweredlivingradio.com. Joining us today, our good friend Marianne Rodmacher. She'll be joining us for more great conversations about life. Marianne is an international best-selling author. She's an artist, a poet. She's, an incredible artist and writing mentor, someone who has helped me so much, and I love having her on the show. But, of course, first, I want to say hello to the Better Today community. More importantly, remind you to never forget the power of one kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. It's about taking that action. It's about taking that action. We could have all the intent we want. Intent is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful hope of our spiritual experience. But action builds our human reality. So take that intent and put it towards, let it fuel your action. And let's never forget the simplest things have the greatest effects. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Get out there and make a difference. I want to start the show. Marianne Rodmacher is internationally best-selling author, a friend of the show, and definitely a listener favorite. Her books are simply incredible. So many books. You could check out her website, MarianneRodmacher.net.com. She's on Facebook. She's on Twitter. And more importantly for me, I love that she's on the show. Marianne Rodmacher, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much, Steve Maraboli. Hello to your community.
Hello to our community. Yeah, so many people give. I get specific feedback from some people when you're on. I feel like it's been forever since we've had a conversation. Thank you for coming back. I want to know what's going on with you and how you're doing as our winter is turning into spring.
Well, spring's definitely apparent around my house, and I was sharing with you just before the show that I'm taking care to transition myself physically from winter into spring, because spring's a very busy time for blossoming and unexpected volunteer plants popping up everywhere, and that's what my opportunity horizon looks like right now. And so I'm taking extra precautions. I'm making sure that I get to bed at my bedtime, that I get solid sleep, that I'm drinking lots of water, eating the right foods, because I know that spring really is my opportunity to blossom. I love my homeopathic practitioner friends tell me that it's very wise to pattern your lifestyle choices in sync, in cadence with the seasons. So it's a, said another way, it's a healthy way to live when your activities mirror the actions or the activities of the season in which you're situated. So I'm making sure that my roots go deep, that I'm watering my sprouts, and I'm anticipating having lovely, colorful blossoms. How's that for an answer, Mr. Miraboli?
That's a fantastic answer. How are you healing up? I'm curious to know how your physical therapy's been going, and if you've made any healing in that area.
I taught over last weekend. I taught at a conference called Womanhood Weekend, and everyone wanted to know, how are you doing? And I raised my hands above my head and did a lunge forward in the style of Molly Shannon from Saturday Night Live, and I said, superstar! And then I, flailed my arms around just to prove that I could. The progress felt very slow when I was doing those understretch, overstretch, rotate, every day. And in that process, I was asking myself, is my arm ever going, am I ever going to heal? And then boom. I'm not saying boom the way that it deserves to be said, but I didn't want to startle you. Just one day. The pain was gone, the resistance was gone, the limitation was gone. And as you know, I love to draw metaphor from actual events. And so that says to me, if you do your diligence, if you follow your protocols and make time for those sloggy, unsexy, not very appealing commitments that you know are good for you, you are going to get the results down the road. You just have to have patience for it.
And it seems to me that that's also happening when you started this conversation. You talked about that there was a lot of blossoming, also professionally some blossoming. And in previous conversations we've had, you were talking about diligence, knowing that you're sowing seeds. You went through a time of sowing seeds, and now you're talking about things blossoming. So you're living what you just said. I love that.
It's pretty exciting. And in fact, some of my springtime blossoming involves you, Steve, because third down, no offense, Mr. Miraboli, because you're number one with me all the time in my heart, but on my design board, you're number three down, because I'm designing in cooperation with your words and my artwork. I'm designing a set of inspiring little cards. And, won't that be fun when
that.
It's done?
That will be, for me, that'll be an incredible thing. I'll be so proud to have my words associated with your art, and I look forward to that. Now that you just said it on radio, I'm sure there's a whole bunch of people looking forward to that. And thank you. Thank
You're
you
welcome.
For that. You know, as I always find fascinating in my conversations with you, how you seem to be in a process. I always say talking about refining and improving, but you do always seem in a process of refinement and adjustment. Is it something that's always been you in your personal and professional life, or is this something that you've picked up later on with a little more wisdom? But you do seem and always in a process of refining and paying attention to see what works and what doesn't work. Is that something new, or is that something that's always been you?
It's something that's always been me in some form or another, Steve. And I'll tell you that we've often talked about how everything has a pendulum swing. So on the one swing, the always looking for a different way, always wondering, if that worked, would this work? It's my inner Lewis and Clark. I'm always looking for a better way to get to the ocean. When I get to the ocean once, I look behind me and say, I wondered if I had taken that other turn. I think I'm going to go back and see where that other turn takes me. So that's the exploration and the wondering is on the positive side, and on the negative, on the hard to be around pendulum swing side is people that I work with and do projects with. You love this part of me, so I have to say none of this pendulum swing is difficult for you. But someone will come up with an idea and I'll say, that's great, dot, dot, dot. And what would happen if we put this with that? And the person whose idea it was, who first heard me say, that's great, gets all feather fluffed and says, well, if it's great, how come you have to change it? Well, and here's me. Oh, I'm not. It's not that I'm changing it. It's that I'm wondering if we can make it do more. Well, what's wrong with what it does? See what I'm saying? So, yes, it seems to always have been a part of me, and the message is in the mess, as you love to say. And so the positive outcomes of that quality of mine also have difficult to deal with outcomes. And if anyone is listening to this radio show that's ever been employed by me or worked with me or for whom I have worked, you're not in your head going, oh, yeah, I remember that time.
It's funny how we find certain things that work. And in that process, we do think of things or recognize things that didn't work. Is there anything along the way in these past, in your career, that you thought would work, that you were shocked that it didn't work or that it didn't have as much of a role in your success as you thought it would?
I designed a line of cards with one of my best friends, Suze, whose artwork I loved so much, I hauled it around to galleries trying to get her work in these various galleries. And I pitched her work to greeting card companies. And every one of them said, why are you coming to us with this? You're a greeting card company. You have a gallery. And my answer was, my business plan necessitates that I only produce my own work, my own words, my own artwork. So this doesn't have a place in my company. Well, by golly, I just loved the work so much that I developed an entire poster line and almost 100 greeting cards, which we collect. That was 12, 14 years ago. And Susan and I just collectively got a gift in kind donation receipt for those cards. you follow the story. Because I knew better. The work was awesome. I was right. I mean, it's beautiful. It's awesome, but it's not for me. It was not for me in my business. So, yeah, that was that. Did I answer your question?
As you've adjusted your work and your business plans, I'm sure that's not the first time you've looked at or thought of adjusting a business plan. How has the today's market, today's social media, today's availability of art? I mean, so you can post a picture of your art or a digital copy of your art, and it could be in more hands than anything you've previously made before. It could be in more eyes, being seen by more people within a minute. How does that change your business plan, your marketing strategy, and your overall ability to bring an income to your company?
Well, it changes it a lot, Steve, because it means that the images that are available in the world digitally are dependent upon the ethics, the honor, and the courtesy of people who see them. And I, about twice a month, require myself to take the time to write what amounts to hundreds of people at a time, asking, thank you so much for sharing, for helping me promote my vision, which is true, because my vision is to inspire the world. and making these precious words of mine available to the people that you know, please, please put my name with them, A, and B, please stop selling them without having an agreement with me, and let's talk about that. So there are a lot of people that share my work that don't know, A, that I'm alive still. A lot of people right. think that I lived, like, on the other side of Walden Pond or something. It's very
right.
it's very funny. I'm alive, I'm alive. And a lot of people don't know who say the words because they got it from a friend that didn't attribute it. So the very thing that allows me a global reach as a business professional also allows everybody else a global reach to share my words around the world without my name attached. So I'm still learning how to navigate this particular technological road. Because it's been an extraordinary asset and an amazing detriment, both at the same time.
It really is, and I know that when I come across your work and it doesn't have your name on it, which for a lot of times it has your name, but can I tell you that for me, the one that has your name the least is Courage Doesn't Always Roar.
Mm-hmm.
That quote I have seen so many times, and it's not that it has anyone else's name. It just doesn't have yours. I see that all the time, and I'll correct it when I make the adjustment. What did someone send me? Someone sent me something the other day. It was a speech given. The head of the Mormon Church, whatever you call the Pope of the Mormon Church, the top guy. He had said and quoted, "Courage doesn't always roar." And of course, not attributing it to you. But I said, now here's millions of people across the entire planet saying this. And again, not attributed. And of course, I sent something in for whatever that's worth. It was the Mormon prophet. The Mormon prophet quoted you, but didn't, of course, let anyone know that it was you. I sent them an email for whatever that's worth. I'm not sure that it'll get to the prophet or not.
I'd like to address what seems as if it's simply rooted in technology, but for the sake of being practical and applicable for your listeners, I'd like to take it back a couple of decades. When I first started my company and was stunned by the profone. Yes, that significance that occurs on the telephone. The profound impact of my words on people. It startled me. And Marianne Williamson had not yet said, I think it was Marianne Williamson, speaking of properly attributing words, it's not that we fear... help readers listening. It's not that we fear something, it's that we fear recognizing our own power. Do you know
right.
that phrase?
I guess about the essence of it that you know, yeah.
Thank you
if
very
much. If anyone
else
knows it, shoot it on over.
So what I faced as a young woman was I didn't want to be people's guru. I didn't want people to attribute their personal growth, their emotional epiphany, their grace to me. I wanted them to own it themselves. So for the first 15, 16 years of my business, I did not allow photographs of myself to accompany the published materials of my work for my wholesale or my retail account folks. And I really purposely almost clinically made myself invisible so that the words would do their work. So I raised up my words to march out into the world and do a lot of hard work on their own. And then in the halfway through their growing up process said, hey, wait a minute. You're marching out into the world and doing the hard work on your own and not remembering your home. Well, so about 10 years ago, I started putting photographs with my work, and I started being visible, being willing to talk on the radio, being willing to put my human voice with my written words. And many people that admire your work, Steve, and follow what I do, face the same thing. They create something that they're very proud of, that they're excited about, that gives them a great deal of joy, but they diminish it. They don't claim it as their creative child. They say, well, you just scoot over there into this little donation box and see if anybody likes you. You know, go do it on your own. I'm not going to stand up with you. You have to stand on your own feet. That's a very temptation, a very great temptation for people who create things. And what I encourage people to do is explore what they're really called to do. Are they really called to remain invisible behind their work, or are they simply fearful of being seen?
And that's exactly it. And you find, and thank you, Natalie, for sending in the quote. The quote by Marianne Williamson is, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. So I think that it's actually a pretty long quote, but that's the part I remember. I think that it's another society thing where I was thinking of this as I watch the political race begin to heat up. I don't watch so much in the essence and the form of politics itself, but instead I watch it human behavior and seeing how people are and how they're treating each other and how they're behaving. And you see that even if someone reaches a level of success, very rarely do you have somebody celebrating that success. It is instead that they are picking at them, whether it be their gender or their color or the school they went to wasn't quite a good enough school or anything other than celebrating success. If you see somebody on TV, ladies, you're hugely involved in this, and you should really rethink this. When you see a celebrity, a woman celebrity who might have just had a child a few months ago, and she looks amazing now, instead of celebrating her and saying, wow, she worked really hard to look that great, what's the first thing you do? You say, oh, well, of course, well, I'd look that great too if I had a personal chef and a personal trainer, keeping in mind that you could have 10 chefs and 10 trainers and not one of them could do a push-up or a jumping jack for you. But instead of celebrating each other, we end up nitpicking and poking. And I see that in my own business. I see that I give an incessant amount and yet you'll still have people who say, oh, well, you were late with your quote this morning. Are you? I mean, it's absolutely incredible. So I think that part of it is that fear that we have that we are powerful beyond measure. And another one's a legitimate fear that we're going to be nitpicked and not celebrated for our art, but instead pointed out for our difference.
Mm-hmm. I had a client at this conference this weekend expressed to me that something that I said 3 years ago changed the trajectory of her life. And so 3 years ago, I stood in front of this conference that I'd been teaching at already for a couple of years, and I said, do you know how many people so far this weekend have asked me where I got my education? And this many people asked me what my master's work was in. And one of you asked if I was pursuing my doctorate. And I stared at the room, and I said, I finished high school. That silence that we all just heard was the silence in the room. So I said it again. I finished high school with honors. I did very well in high school. And then I helped a friend of mine through college. And here I am. I have no degree. I don't have a master's, and I'm certainly not pursuing my doctoral degree. I am a lifelong learner. And the letters that are after my name spell curiosity. And she came up to me 3 years ago, and I made her a little art piece. And I said, really, I felt like the Wizard of Oz having been outed from behind the curtain. Whoa, well, you really, what you really need are letters behind your name. And so I wrote her name out, and I put five letters behind her name. G-R-A-C-E. Grace. And subsequent to that time, she has found the courage within herself to stop apologizing for not having a degree, to own her life experience as her education, and she started her own business and is doing amazing things and is experiencing a sweet, sweet success. Just because
she
needed some letters behind her name.
I absolutely love that. And it's a great time to point out for those listening that, and either way, with degree or no degree, it's interesting to know in the history of our country, most people with degrees are hired by people who started businesses without degrees. That's how that works. Donald Trump, I think, said when asked why I don't know if he didn't finish high school on time or whatever it was. He definitely didn't pursue college. When asked why this was the case, he said, well, I want to get out there. I wanted to get out there and start my business so that when the college kids graduated, they had a place to work.
I want to immediately embrace our educational system, Steve, and say I am a total advocate of people going to college should circumstances provide for it and they have the passion and the intention to do it. But that it is an unspoken expectation that every smart person must do a certain thing is what I do not endorse.
Yeah, and it's the truth, and also not to have a false expectation. I'm often asked. I did both. I struggled through school, but then through military and up until recently, I never stopped going to university and have picked up some advanced degrees. And I was recently asked the difference because I was talking to somebody who really his value, and maybe this was something that his parents had put on him, but it was at a seminar, and he didn't have any sense of value until it said PhD after his name, and he was working really hard to get there. And I said, listen, continue, but you ask me how my life has changed and how my life has changed since getting an advanced degree. And I said, really, beforehand, when I didn't know something, I would say, oh, that's kind of weird, and I didn't expect that. I said, and after getting an advanced degree, I say, that's an anomaly. That's really the only difference is that I use a $200,000 word instead of I don't know, that's weird. I say it's an anomaly. That's really the only difference. And I said it told them, you know, enjoy your life, keep pursuing what you're pursuing, but don't put your value, don't confuse your value with your circumstance. And folks, we're having a great conversation with Marianne Rademacher. Marianne is an international best-selling author. If you click on her name on her website, it'll take you right to her website. Also, her books are fantastic. Live with Intentions, Amazing Courage, Doesn't Always Roll, May Your Walls Know Joy. Marianne's got a tremendous, tremendous collection of books. All of them are soul-nourishing. They captivate you, your eyes. She's an incredible artist. So please share her information. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we still got some more with Marianne Rademacher. I see your feedback. I promise you I'll get to some of them when we get back. You're listening to Empowered Living. I didn't put any new commercials, and I'm sick of the music on there. So let's Dr. King it up for a couple minutes. We will be back in 3 minutes, 34 seconds. You're listening to Empowered Living. Don't move.
We are masters in our nonviolent movement in disarming police forces. They don't know what to do. I've seen them so often. I remember in Birmingham, Alabama, when we were in that majestic struggle there. We would move out of the 16th Street Baptist Church day after day. By the hundreds, we would move out, and Bull Connor would tell them to send the dogs for. And they did come. But we just went before the dogs singing, "Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around." Bull Connor next would say, "Turn the fire hoses on." And as I said to you the other night, Bull Connor didn't know history. He knew a kind of physics that somehow didn't relate to the transphysics that we knew about. And that was the fact that there was a certain kind of fire that no water could put out. And we went before the fire hoses. We had known water. If we were Baptists or some other denomination, we had been immersed. If we were Methodists and some others, we had been sprinkled. But we knew water. That couldn't stop us. And we just went on before the dogs, and we would look at them, and we'd go on before the water hoses, and we would look at it, and we just go on singing, "Over my head, I see freedom in the air." And then we would be thrown into paddy wagons, and sometimes we were stacked in there like sardines in a can. And they would throw us in, and old Bull would say, "Take them off." And they did, and we would just go on in the paddy wagon singing, "We shall overcome." And every now and then we'd get in jail and we'd see the jailers looking through the windows, being moved by our prayer and being moved by our words and our song. And there was a power there which Bull Connor couldn't adjust to. And so we ended up transforming Bull into a steer, and we won our struggle in Birmingham.
Hey, 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 welcome back. Welcome back. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Make sure you check out our websites, abettertoday.com, stevemaraboli.com, and empoweredlivingradio.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter, YouTube, Pinterest, and I don't know where else. We're around. Just the only thing I ask is that you share. We're having a great conversation with Marianne Rademacher, international best-selling author. She is an incredible writing coach, and I love having her on the show. Check out her website, MarianneRodemacher.net.com. If you're listening through our website, make sure that you click on Marianne's name, and it'll take you right to her website. She's on Facebook. She's on Twitter. And Marianne, we're gonna do some feedback. And hey, big shout out before we go to feedback. Big shout out to Meg in New Hampshire. Congrats to your daughter who's graduating college. And Meg wrote in that she's super excited to give her daughter a piece of your art as graduation present. So congrats to you and to your daughter and your whole family. And I hope you have a fantastic weekend celebrating that tremendous success. Marianne, is it just a cool feeling to know that your art hangs in people's houses, mine included, my home and my office? Is it just a really cool feeling knowing that people will look at your art on a daily basis and not only look at it, but be inspired by it? It must be an amazing feeling.
It is. It's a thrill, and it is a continuous reminder, especially Steve, in the weeks when earning a living as an artist seems like a foolhardy venture at practical levels. In those periods of time, I stop and think about where my posters are, what they do for people on a daily basis, and it really helps draw me forward and stay connected to my purpose, my purpose in life is not to have the ease and security of a dependable paycheck. My purpose in life is to inspire the world and be true to the words that I know are in me and create an environment that they can come forward and be made available to other people.
And it is fantastic. Yesterday I was invited to the local middle school here in Port Washington for career day and to talk to the kids about life for 20 minutes. and walking through the hallway, I saw two Live With Intention posters. I thought that was pretty cool. I was walking around like, I know her. She's a poster on your wall, but she's my friend. And I think that's really cool. I want to get to some feedback, because anytime you're on, I don't get the feedback, I get yelled at. So let's go with Melissa's in Cleveland, Ohio, and she writes, "Steve, I love your conversation with Marianne. You always seem so relaxed. The both of you make a great radio pair. Could you please have her elaborate on something you talk about often but not enough, the transformation of her ideas about spirituality and spirituality's role in how she leads her life. Maybe," and she put in parentheses, "maybe the balance between spirituality and humanity. Thank you, big hugs from Ohio."
Melissa, I've been dramatically impacted by the writings of Brother Lawrence, who they have survived from the 15th century. And his work has been resonant with me since I was a wee lass. And by wee lass, I mean that I read Practicing the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence before I turned 15. And in his words, I found the mirror for how, in my heart, I felt about my spiritual practice. And that is, I don't have a spiritual practice. I don't have a spiritual practice. I don't have an humanity. I have this life that is animated because I breathe. And as I breathe, I put forward, I present, I exude everything that I believe about life. And so there is no separation between work, friendships, relationships, how I prepare my food, how I get ready for bed, how I treat the stranger in the slow driving lane. They are all the same thing. How I serve God, and those of you who call your creator by a different name, fill in your blank. How I serve the power that I know animates my life and breath is how I open the door at the post office and how I address an envelope. There are no lines. And people who say there are lines are the people who are frustrated because they go to temple on Saturday or worship on Sunday or something on Wednesday night, and then they go to work the next day. And that's a different story. One story animates my life. There is a single wind that blows at my back, propelling me forward. And it is the same wind that propels me when I'm cutting up the vegetables to roast on the grill, as it is whether I'm going to snap my precious husband's nose off with a sharp word, or whether I'm going to choose to walk the dog or sit and walk a book. It's the same thing.
I love that. It's like Gandhi said when asked about his message, and they were expecting this huge rant, and he simply answered, "My life is my message." I absolutely love that. And thank you so much for your feedback. Let's keep going with some more feedback. We're speaking with Marianne Rodmacher. Let's go with Jonathan. Jonathan is in Montreal, Canada. And Jonathan writes about relationships with other people. All right, Steve, you spoke with Marianne a previous time about finding people who may be poisonous in your circle and removing them. I'm wondering if the earlier question you had about her constantly upgrading her life also includes a look around the people she surrounds herself with. Thank you so much.
Jonathan, yes, it does. And it's perhaps one of the most challenging things in my life, to, especially when it involves parting company, parting ways with people for whom I have a deep affection. But the manner in which people treat me says a lot about how I view myself. And see, you can tell that this is a very tender subject for me, because it's just happened to me that I've had to sever a tie that was deep and abiding and very meaningful, and it is severed. Because
it's cyclical.
Things are cyclical, and it goes back to my homeopathic trainer's advice to learn right practices from the way the seasons progress. And a plant that flourishes in winter does not flourish in summer. And our lives are seasonal. We don't live in a perennial summer. So it is not, while it is hard, it is natural that a relationship that served us in the autumn time of our life experience would not do well for us in the season of winter. So, Jonathan, it's absolutely true that I can look back, be grateful for the presence of many people in my life then who are not in my life now.
Because they would have a different effect. It's like we finally got permission. I finally got permission from my dad to go through their cabinets and cupboards at their house, and just taking out stuff. And not only has stuff been sitting in there, but also my mom would have spices from 1984. I mean, she would just have things that were in there for forever. And I got to thinking, shocker, I got to thinking, and I thought, well, you know, what's incredible about this, and as we spring clean, that the people we surround ourselves with and the activities we do are also like this. At a time, some of that food, some of those spices, some of those vitamins, she had vitamins from like 1995, some of those vitamins at the time were exactly what she needed to nourish her. The food was exactly what we needed to nourish us. But if you have it now, it'll make you sick. And there are some people in your life, Jonathan, and anyone else listening, there are some people in your life that for a time they were good for you and they were healthy for you and it helped you get through whatever you were going through, that phase or that time of your life. But if you know that there's people in your life that consistently, when you get little doses of them, you're not feeling so well afterwards, that may simply be that their role in your life has expired and they need to be cleaned out of your friend cupboard.
A really excellent measure is asking yourself, after you've spent time with someone, are you enlivened? Did you learn something? Are you stronger, better, more inclined to serve yourself and others having been in the company of that person? Or did you find yourself snarky, complaining, speaking poorly of others? If these are patterns that continue to emerge in a relationship, you have to ask, am I bringing out the best in them? And are they bringing out the best in me? And if the equation isn't a positive one, it's time to change some of the numbers.
And the challenge becomes, I guess, an emotional one, because I feel that while I've always been good at plucking out people from my life, I feel that as I get older, I have less tolerance for feeling not so well after an interaction with somebody. But the emotional connection is still there, and you mentioned it in your own life where it's still tender. How do you balance that? How do you keep that promise to yourself? How do you balance that?
I know that a lot of people want to have a narration. They want to talk it out and put a lid on the finish.
Right.
And for some people, a ritual like that might be important. And certainly if the relationship that you're severing was contractual or had a legal element binding you by virtue of relationship or business to that person, there are some formal necessary steps that you have to take. But I find in my work, this is not my personal experience, because I just say to someone, I think our time has come. You've been awesome in my life, and we're moving away from each other, and let's just acknowledge that. It's not the volcanic big deal that it was when I was younger. A lot of people fear the conflict. They feel as if they're going to create a burden or a crisis for themselves or others. When in fact, it's like an ebb and flow of a tide. It's come in, if you can just let it go out and then walk away from the beach, you just let it take its natural course. It doesn't have to be a big, fussy deal.
And hopefully that helped you out, Jonathan. I want to keep going on with some more feedback. Thank you so much for listening in Montreal. Let's go with Carrie. Carrie's in San Diego, California. And Carrie writes, hey, big hugs to you both. I want to ask Marianne, I almost rocketed to the moon when I read that a lot of money from billionaires was going into mining asteroids in outer space. Meanwhile, our music and art programs are falling apart right here in the good old USA. I want to know if Marianne heard of this and what kind of reaction she had. Loving hugs from a fellow art enthusiast.
Hi, Carrie. I hadn't heard of it.
Yeah, it was like the heads of some. It's a bunch of billionaires are getting together, and they want to mine asteroids for the valuable minerals that they have.
Used up the resources of this planet. Let's head to outer space. The new frontier. Carrie, my reaction is jumbled, and so I'm going to have to pass, because on one level, I already told you my immediate reaction, with an accent, I might add. but I think that it's more the circumstances more than just a knee-jerk reaction on the radio, so let me think about it. I know that's a little unfair as feedback goes, but it's where I got to go.
No, it's honest, and that's what's most fair in feedback. And you know, Carrie, don't forget, I see what you're saying, and that's one of so many places that money gets spent where the art programs. I mean, I live in a community where you see the school budget has to pass every year, and you see the school budget, and you just see the numbers, Carrie, and where they're going and who they're going to and who they're not going to, and that'll make you go crazy. But you got to remember, Carrie, that art has always been a grassroots thing. It's always been a grassroots thing. I mean, it's always been a thing of the people. It's like music and dance. It's been a thing of the people, Carrie. So, yes, you know what? You're not going to get those billionaires to say, you know what, let's support the school art programs instead of mining for space water. Let's do school programs. They're not going to say that. I'm sure that they might be philanthropic enough to put some money towards school programs. But what's most important, Carrie, is that it's folks like you who are art enthusiasts, who are music enthusiasts, or art enthusiasts, whatever it is, that you get out there and celebrate and you do something with the kids. You know what I saw here in good old Port Washington? Something I had never seen before, and I forgot to mention it when I saw it, but I'm glad I'm thinking of it right now. Like every other town in the world, we have, as soon as it's a nice warm day, we have the kids put out lemonade stands, and I thought it was cool. One kid I passed by, and it looked like a garage sale, but it wasn't. It was like a little stand of this kid's art. He had a little art stand. And, of course, people pull up and, you know, here's a couple of dollars for a drawing. And I thought that was awesome. And more importantly, I thought the parents who supported that and gave him the idea, or if he came up with the idea and they supported that idea, that's where it happened, Carrie. That, to me, is the greatest art and the greatest support of art. Having a little art stand and doing it in your own community like that, that's something that that no billionaire project to outer space can beat, as far as I'm concerned. We're going to keep going with some more feedback. Feedback today, well, Instant Messenger, the screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. Let's go with Travis. Travis is in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and Travis writes, "Hey, Steve, excellent show. Could you ask Marianne a little bit more about the internet issue? I couldn't stop laughing as she delicately went around and relied on the morality of internet users. I can feel her pain as I have come across much of her work without proper attribute as well. Could you please ask her if she has to change her business plan because of this and experience more free flow of information and art and find a different way, a different aspect of her business in which to, quote unquote, pay the bills?"
So far, I haven't changed, Travis. So far, I just keep taking the moments each month and writing people. And having this conversation contributes to the viability of my name as author being attributed to writing, because those of you that are listening will now be more inclined to say to their friend who posts it on their Facebook banner page without attribution, you'll say, "Hey, you know, I know this lady. And this is how you spell her name." Anne comes
that's
with an
exactly
E.
It.
And that's how it works, Travis, because I have to continually come back to the center of my dartboard, the core of my mission, is I didn't say 35 years ago, I want to grow old and be wildly wealthy and extraordinarily famous. That was not part of my mission statement. Which, please know, I don't object to those two things.
Right.
I just didn't target them as my objective. So if my objective is that my words inspire people in the world, I have to tolerate that they go out on their own without my name, and I have to ask for help. But
and that's exactly it.
The exciting transitional word I just used, Steve, is because of what Travis just asked, and because of Carrie's call and your story, I have this fantastic phrase, and I'm really excited to see how it's going to manifest in the community. Art stands, not an art stand. But picture one of those little booths with the child cobbled together sign above it that typically says lemonade stand 50 cents, or I guess these days it's a dollar. Picture it now saying art stands, because you and I have talked about how art transcends culture, time, millennia. Art stands the test of time. So I'm thinking how cool it would be this summer to create a booth and put it out somewhere and get some kids around me and do it as a fundraiser for the local school and have the little booth say art stands. Do you
like
it?
I think that's a great idea. I absolutely love it. I think that
community, do it.
Yeah.
Send us feedback. see if it works.
I'm telling you, this kid had cars lined up. And thank you. That's a great question. And not only for Marianne, but for many artists who are experiencing this. Now, Marianne, what you have is built as a great platform. While you say that you aren't wildly famous, your art is, though. Your art is absolutely wildly famous. There are few places or people who aren't familiar with at least some of your words. And in your way of writing those words and your specific type of art, your art is definitely wildly famous. And I understand. I forgot his name, but I understand your point. Where, if, folks, if you just think about it for a second, think about the Facebook cover images. Think about the pictures that are flying around on your desktop or hung up on your cubicles or wherever. And think about how much you paid for that. Zero, right? So usually that's by an artist of some sort. And when you come across somebody's art and you know for a fact that it's theirs, you just let somebody know on a Facebook when they upload a cover art photo. So, oh, I love this quote by Marianne Rademacher. Put that on there. And that little type of thing helps because all you need is someone to then Google her or to try and find her on Facebook, and there you have the systems back in order. There are some fantastic artists out there, some amazing artists out there whose art can absolutely change your life. Marianne Rademacher is my favorite, and we've got an hour of conversation, and I want to thank you for being on the show.
You're welcome,
for sharing
Steve.
Your art, and just tell everyone what's your preferred method of them reaching and finding your stuff.
Well, I'm going to tell you a brand new. This is very exciting, and I'm sorry I didn't get to tell you about it, but my newest installation of work is available at a place called AppliedInsight.net. AppliedInsight.net. And the line is called Illuminations. And I would be thrilled if our community found resonance in it.
AppliedInsight.net. All right, folks, AppliedInsight.net. For those of you, what I can do, is it all right with you if on our website, on Empowered Living Radio, under your name, when they click on your name, it goes to that website? Would you prefer that?
Oh, thanks. As a matter of fact, I would.
Yeah, because a tremendous portion listen to the archives later, and they always hear me say, click on your name. So we'll switch that as soon as the show's over to AppliedInsight.net. And that way the folks can go there and check it out. And Marianne, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your insight, your wisdom. Thank you for being a great friend. Thank you. We don't talk enough about your writing. Marianne's writing and her writing program have helped me so much, and we don't ever talk about it because the insight, the questions people ask are just, you are like the guru that doesn't want to be a guru because everyone's asking you these life questions because they appreciate your honesty and your wisdom and the way that you shoot from the hip. I know that I do. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
I love you, man. Talk to you soon. Bye.
I love you too. Folks, what a great conversation with Marianne. You know, it's always fun having Marianne on the show. Sorry I didn't get to all the feedback. There's so many questions from Marianne, but I think I covered the main gist of them. And I think that art stand idea is great. I think that's great. I'm so glad that I remembered to bring it up today. Parents and school teachers and community members, art is going to be always has been, always will be a grassroots thing. It will always be that. It's the only time you see it in museums and those kind of things is because there's someone trying to make a tremendous amount of money from it. But art programs for schools and communities, that's always going to come from the community itself. So get out there and participate. Art is It's how you can determine. You know, when we look back at ancient civilizations, the way that we know about those civilizations isn't recorded, isn't records of history. It's their art. Their art tells us about them. Their art, what they drew and what they sang to and what they danced to. That their art is what helps us understand them. So support your art programs and get out there and make a difference. Never forget that power of one. Check out Marianne's website. It was, let me find it. You guys remember what it was? Oh, appliedinsight.net. Appliedinsight.net. Check it out. We'll be switching it at our website. So if you're listening to our show in the archives, just click on Marianne's name. It'll take you right to appliedinsight.net. Get out there and make a difference. Embrace the most spiritual thing you can do is embrace your humanity. Get out there and embrace it. Get out there and participate. Recognize that you are more than just the dreamer. You are the point of origin for that dream to come into reality. You are the point of origin for every standard you set in your own life. Set high standards. Carry yourself strong and be a reflection of everything you want to see in your life. If you want to see a very fit walking down the beach you, then get out there and be that. Live in a way that will lead you to that reality. Don't just think it, be it. Don't just pray it and hope it, do it. Get out there and make a difference. And when you're doing so, don't forget that this New Yorker loves you. Congrats again to you, Meg, and your family. Have a great weekend, everybody. Never forget that I'm cheering you on here in Port Washington, New York. You're listening to Empowered Living. Our website's bettertoday.com, stevemaraboli.com, and empoweredlivingradio.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're everywhere else. Check it out. You're listening to Empowered Living. We'll see you next time.
A Better Today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.